640 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. President Trump insists this is the truth about the U.S. attack on Iran's nuclear sites.
It was obliterated like nobody's ever seen before.
He said that on Fox News this morning, but there are new questions about the validity of his claim. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The head of the International Atomic Energy Agency says the U.S. airstrikes did cause severe damage, but did not completely end Iran's nuclear ambitions.
The knowledge is there. The industrial capacity is there.
On CBS's Face the Nation, Rafael Grossi also says diplomacy is the only true way to end the conflict.
We are not going to solve this in a definitive way militarily.
Adding diplomacy plus an inspection system in the future will reassure the entire world about the end of the nuclear threat. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer's promise to do this has been kept.
If Senate Republicans won't tell the American people what's in this bill, then Democrats are going to force this chamber to read it from start to finish.
The Senate clerks have been taking turns doing just that since last night. They're expected to finish up their out loud read of the big, beautiful budget bill late this afternoon. Senate could vote on it tomorrow. Here's CBS's Christiane Benavides.
The legislation extends tax cuts from President Trump's first term, removes taxes on tips and overtime, and increases spending for defense and border security. Opponents of the bill argue it would make significant cuts to Medicaid and food stamp programs.
As that bill heads toward its conclusion, many Americans are struggling to feed their families. James Cunningham is the head chef for the Bread and Roses Soup Kitchen in Los Angeles.
Honestly, the cost of living is just crushing people right now. Even folks with jobs can't afford rent and food at the same time. And with a lot of the support programs getting cut, more people are slipping through the cracks.
Sweeping roundups of illegal and sometimes legal immigrants have marked the first 6 months of the year. But now President Trump tells Fox News he'll ease up on industries like hospitality and agriculture, where migrants are a large portion of the workforce.
We're going to work it so that some kind of a temporary pass where people pay taxes, where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away.
Well, last week it was the U.S. Now it's Southern Europe's turn for a blast furnace heat wave as temperatures soar past 100 degrees. Here's the BBC's Guy Hedgeco.
The first heat wave of the summer has seen sweltering temperatures across Spain and Portugal as a mass of hot air pushes up from North Africa. Many areas of Italy and the south of France are also on alert because of the heat.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. A new statewide political poll finds overwhelming support for cracking down on phones in schools. The latest Marquette Law School poll came out last Wednesday. It surveyed just under 900 voters earlier this month on things like the state and federal budgets and the 2026 governor's race. But it also asked about cell phone use in schools, and the response was clear.
We can be quick on this. Get rid of your kids' cell phones.
Marquette poll director Charles Franklin.
89% say not in classes.
72% of voters supported banning cell phones throughout the school day, including lunch and between classes. And it's a timely issue in Richland Center, where the local school board is weighing a change for phone use in the high school. Reporter Joanne Krulatz from WRCO in Richland Center.
This new language would restrict cell phone use during the day, whereas it is currently allowed in common areas before and after school, during passing times, and during lunch.
The school board listed a number of reasons for the switch to help students concentrate, reduce stress, and encourage healthy boundaries with technology, and for clear communication with families and to prevent misinformation during emergencies. That proposal heads back to the school board next month. The conversation happens as there's new national research on the link between screen time and mental well-being for youth. A study published last week in the medical journal JAMA followed over 4,009 and 10-year-olds over a four-year period. It found that kids with high or increasing levels of addictive screen use, especially for social media or video games, were more likely to show signs of anxiety, depression, and serious mental health issues. Researchers caution that the study shows a link but doesn't prove causation. For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies on tap for your Sunday, and we'll see some showers and storms in the mid to late afternoon hours. High temperatures today warming to the upper 80s, close to 90 degrees, a south to southeast breeze. More storms tonight. It's 87 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk Action Wisconsin and film incentives with Jeffrey Kurz and Nathan Deming. And Kurt Newman of the legendary Bodines joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome to the show. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you're here. We got a good one for you. If you like it, you want to share it, you want to, I don't know, tell your friends all about it, which I don't blame you. This episode, along with every other ones, are available everywhere you get your podcasts on civicmedia.us. Come hang out with us as many times as you want. And because today we are hanging out with the 43rd Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, J.B. Van Hollen. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, we were just talking about dressing casual. You're retired. You're that's up in the North Woods, hanging out. How's life?
You know, life's pretty good. Spent a lot of time outdoors, out in the woods. Basically as far from the mainstream as I can get, and that's kind of a refreshing change from a lot of my past.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, you were. Quite a consequential attorney general that we had. You've done some awesome stuff. I think most notably it eliminated that big backlog that we had, and you had a lot of success in your time in office. When I don't know if you know about my background, but I was a chairman of Brown County Republican Party. I've since left the party because I'm not a big Trump guy. I was the chairman of the organization when you were attorney general, and we got to hang out a little bit. I'm glad we're full circle here. And I know the reason you're here is your work with the Democracy Defense Project. Do you mind talking about that a little bit?
Sure. I've been in my, I guess, retirement, you would call it. I've been a little picky about the things that I'm still involved in. But one of the things, obviously, that I've always strongly believed in, even through my actions and campaigning and running for attorney general and being attorney general, was the sanctity of our electoral process. Yeah. And the significance and importance of it. And trying to make sure that people had faith and confidence in our electoral process and in our government. So since then I've been involved in a number of different organizations. Currently, it's the DDP, or Democracy Defense Project, which is one in a line of my past involvement of bipartisan projects to try to convince the electorate in the sanctity, importance, and validity of our election process. We all know that there are certain hiccups in everything in life. Yeah. Certainly there are in our elections processes as well, but not as bad as I think the general public may believe or have believed, and not as bad as many elected officials want us to believe. And when you have, I think, two pretty extremely different political officials, such as myself and former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and another one on each party, who are willing to team up and march in step and agree on the issues like this, I think it really has the opportunity to send a message.
Yeah, I know a lot of, if we had like a theme or a slogan here on the show, I always talk about that this show is not about left versus right. It's about right versus wrong. And it's interesting how you know, when I left my role with the Republican Party and then I became a nonpartisan, I was a county supervisor and then I did some other stuff. It's interesting when you get away from the partisan politics, how you kind of can take a step back and be like, wow, that's dumb. You know, your perspective can kind of open up a little bit. And I know you've always been a bipartisan guy, but it's cool to see. I mean, I think when you were Attorney General, Mike Tate was the Democratic state chair, right?
He was.
Yeah. How many times did you go back and forth with him? And here you are, yeah. You know?
Since then, this is the second time I've teamed up with him on a voter integrity program. So we have similar views on something that matters. And when it comes to bipartisan, it's interesting to note, I think people in the past, some in both parties, have felt that I was not a staunch conservative because I was bipartisan. Yeah. And I think they're completely different categories. When it comes to Republican principles and philosophy, you can't get any more conservative than I am. But bipartisanship means that there are things we can agree on and work across the aisles on, and we can't let partisanship get in the way of succeeding in those areas. And I think voter integrity is one of those areas.
Yeah. So what, why now? Why is now the time that you kind of picked this up and with the democracy? I mean, you've done this in the past, but why do this now with...
Yeah, I'm doing this now because I think it has really risen to the fore. I have seen people who are just screaming that our elections have no validity, and yet they really don't know why they're screaming that. And some of them, when they can set out reasons, are setting out reasons that are invalid. For instance, in some polling that we just did in the Democracy Defense Program, there are people who think we need voter ID to vote. Well, we do have voter ID to vote. We've had it for quite some time. So there are people who have concerns about our process that aren't legitimate or even close to legitimate. And then there are other people, for instance, Republicans, who think that elections get stolen because of a massive ballot dump in Milwaukee on election night that happens every electoral cycle. Well, the reality is these aren't votes that are getting dumped in. These are the Milwaukee election officials who are following Wisconsin law that prohibits them from opening absentee ballots or counting early votes before the beginning of election day. So they can't get those tallies until late on election day or even later than that. So there's a lot of misinformation out there, and we want to make sure people are educated. We also want to make sure that if we can collect information and in a bipartisan manner, approach the legislature and the governor and get them to implement changes that make our elections safer and more secure and give our people more confidence in the system, that by all means, let's do that.
Right. You know, it's interesting. Like I remember in when I was chair, the Democrats would always talk about, you know, these countries of, you know, liberal bastions of like, oh, like Denmark and all these, but those countries have voter IDs as well, you know, and so I think there's it's not about left versus right. It's right versus wrong. There is a place, I think, where you can say we need to count ballots ahead of time. We need to allow for bigger access for people to drop their ballots off. That is a thing. We need to, you know, voter ID is not the evil empire. That is okay. And we need to have these real discussions with people. And I think this is important because I think a lot of our political discourse begins and ends with this topic. You know, Republicans think Democrats are cheating. Democrats think Republicans are cheating. You know, and I think that's important. Describe your involvement in the proposal. You know, how did this come up with the Democracy Defense Project?
Well, their Democracy Defense Project is spanning a number of swing states, I would say. Mm. I think there are eight of us states that are involved with former officials from both political parties who are the co-chairs or the board members in each of those states. And I believe out of the states, I'm the only former attorney general. There's awfully great number of former governors from both political parties involved in the other states. They really, I think, tried to find the more high profile people in each state who would agree to the principles of the Democracy Defense Project, which I certainly do. And the other members of my board, and we haven't mentioned the fourth one, which is former Congressman Scott Klug, who's the other Republican on the panel or on the board. And it's something that we strongly believe in, all of us, and are willing to commit some time and energies to, and that's why we agreed to get involved.
What challenges do you think that this would face? If we talk about this as in the idea that counting ballots ahead of time should be okay. What challenges do you think we got?
Well, I think, and from what I've heard, the biggest challenge that we face is people who believe that we're going to have results that come out before everybody has voted yet. And therefore, people are going to think, okay, my candidate's already won or lost or is going to win or lose. Therefore, I shouldn't vote because I've heard these results. The proposal that we have out there is nothing of the sort. It has to do with simple things like taking in Milwaukee County, and this would happen statewide, but taking in Milwaukee County the 100,000 absentee ballots, and the day before Election Day, at least taking them out of the envelopes, being able to put them in a pile, you know, separating piles, not counting the votes or tabulating them yet, so nobody will have advance notice of how people voted. But you can get half of the work done, or even more, the labor done the day beforehand. It really, there's really no good argument why that should be prohibited.
Right.
You know, some people may think, well, then there's going to be people who can tamper with those ballots. Our election and polling places have bipartisan election workers. They have equal number of election workers from both political parties. They have election observers. Just about anybody can show up and watch and see what's going on. You know, the allegations, I think, are woefully, to the degree that they exist, are woefully misplaced and unfair if people attack our election workers. They work very hard. Yeah. They're very committed. And we want to make sure that they have a better ability to do their job.
We're talking with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. That was a huge function of what we did as a chairman of the political parties is because what we did was we supplied the list of poll watchers, and in Brown County, it was dozens of polling sites. So that was a lot of work trying to get someone there all the time. If you're taking off your left versus right, where are these accusations coming from? You're smiling. You know, I see.
Unfortunately, I think most of them do come from the right. And it's a recency bias as well. Yeah. There have been non-elected officials from both sides of the political aisle who have screamed about stolen elections in the past. It's not just President Trump. It was Secretary Clinton.
Yep.
You know, she did so as well. But
I don't think Stacey Abrams has conceded to Brian Kemp yet. No. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's
recently people think of President Trump because he talked about it for so long and so loudly. And so did many of his most ardent followers. And so those are concerns that we kind of have to overcome.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, it's interesting. There were some times where we would have one of my favorite things to do as chairman was find whoever was a very big election denier, you know, this is misinformation, and put them as a poll watcher and then talk to them afterwards. And they were, boy, that's really, it is. That's a good system they've got, you know?
Well, it's an interesting thing that we did as DDP. We went out in the field with a poll before the presidential election, and we went out in the field with another poll after the presidential election. And the Supreme Court election in Wisconsin. And there really is a recency bias and a bias as to whose candidate won as to what people think. You know, far fewer Republicans think there's electoral process problems since President Trump got elected. And suddenly there are more Democrats who do.
Yep.
The ones who are saying, oh, no, we have a very, very valid process and everything worked out as it should. Suddenly when President Trump gets elected, it's not working right anymore. So...
Yeah.
People are obviously disappointed when it comes to politics. There's reasons why in many circles you don't discuss politics and religion. They're very divisive issues, and people are very emotional about them, and usually rational, but sometimes not.
Right. Yeah. We're, I think that's totally right. And we're going to talk about that on the other side because, you know, election integrity and public trust is something that we have to really work towards to get back, because I think once we have that, I think our political discourse can really improve here. We're talking with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen here on The Rational Revolution. Stick around. We'll talk about that just a bit.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We're back. We've got 43rd Attorney General for the state of Wisconsin, J.B. Van Hollen, on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We're talking about election integrity. We're talking about the Democracy Defense Project that you've been involved with, which is actually pretty freaking cool. So I think that's really awesome what you're doing. And we're talking about election integrity and public trust. In your view, how does the counting of absentee ballots ahead of time, or at least working on them, contribute to the overall security of the integrity of the elections?
You know, I don't think it really contributes to the security and integrity at all. What it contributes to is the confidence that the voters have in the system. It's really, I think, the idea of doing a few things like tabulating the ballots and opening them and organizing them and validating them and things like that ahead of time. What it really does is allows us to have election results in a more timely fashion on election day. And then people who are concerned that votes are being thrown in that aren't legitimate late on election day or after the polls close, it helps alleviate those concerns because it would show that they don't exist. We've got a result before that occurred or could have occurred.
Yeah, and that makes sense. When you are doing this work, did you kind of really nail down, you know, what are the reasons for the delays? Like in Milwaukee, it's like you talked about the opening of the ballots. In Green Bay, it's I don't know, because you know, did you go into that deep of a dive to see what is the delay and what is the root cause of it?
Well, the nice thing is, because this is a multi-state program, we've got the benefit of having the input from people like myself from other states. We've got political teams that basically are running these on in every state. And we have very experienced people from different perspectives on both sides of the political aisle on this board in Wisconsin, who basically have heard from a lot of their constituents or former constituents, and also know from past practices and from watching the media what people's concerns are and what concerns we might have in the system. So we're able to tap into all of that information and come up with things that we think can or should change. And then, of course, we've gone into the field in Wisconsin with polling twice now. And so we get the input from the general public as to what their concerns are as well. And I don't know if I have the number right, but I think a full like 79% of the people that we polled are thinking that we should have uniformity and rule for drop boxes. Yep. We have 70-some percent who are believing that we should be able to do something with the absentee ballots and early votes sooner so that we can have quicker results. And that's a majority of people who are independents, Republicans, and Democrats.
Right.
That's very good information to have, because those are the people we're trying to reach. Those are the people we're trying to convince that we have a valid electoral system.
Now, I you know these people. I know these. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus that we both know, but why has it been so difficult to get these common sense things passed?
You know, unfortunately, I think lately we have become a more partisan house than we have in the recent past. And by house, I mean that in general terms. Mm-hmm. I think we have people who in both political parties who are afraid to veer from their party line. Yeah. There's not as much bipartisanship. So if President Trump says that an election was stolen, suddenly you're not a Republican if you don't agree that right. an election was stolen. And that's unfortunate. And the same can be on the other side with Democrats. If the party line is that, no, we have safe and secure elections, there's no voter fraud whatsoever, then you're not a Democrat if you get out there and say, no, I think there is some voter fraud. So I think that is the biggest problem that we have now. So if we can get out there, show some valid polling data, and help sway some of the leadership in both parties to say, no, this is stuff that's going to help both parties if you can actually agree on it, I think we have a win-win situation.
Do you think is 'cause, and I don't know if this is perception or if this is actually what it is, but cities like, I mean, here in Green Bay where we record this, Milwaukee, it's slow to get our results. But then in Madison, those results, like, relatively speaking, happen pretty quick. Is it different processes? Is it like Madison will trickle in, whereas Green Bay does, okay, here's what it is, boom, Madison and Milwaukee does the same? What is that?
Yeah, I think some of it is different processes, just different people involved and methodologies. Uniformity of that is something that we're pushing for real hard, and in every way, but we can't change everything overnight.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we've discussed a lot as an organization is uniformity of ballot drop boxes, because they're novel. And it was, Democrats were pretty strongly in favor of them, Republicans pretty strongly opposed to them. The reality is they've been found legitimate, legal, permissible. So then our concerns are, okay, well, we shouldn't have ballot drop boxes in Green Bay, but not in Eau Claire.
Right.
And we shouldn't leave it up to the municipalities whether to have them or not, because then it's easier for some people to drop off their ballots in one place than it is in another. And maybe that's a Democrat or Republican area versus the other. We want to make sure that they're secure, which means we need more universal rules that are governing them. So ballot drop boxes are likely here to stay. So this shouldn't be a partisan debate over whether we're in favor of them or opposed to them. It should be a bipartisan agreement that we need to have uniform rules that govern them. And when we do that, then you're at least in that one category, you're not going to have differences in Green Bay or Madison or Milwaukee. And you just got to take one bite of the apple at a time.
Yeah, we're talking with former Attorney General J.B. Van Holland. We're going to, on the other end of the break, we're going to talk about, you know, the election denialism. I want to hear your advice for policymakers coming up here in Wisconsin and other states, too, because this is so important. And I'm really glad, like I said, we're talking with Attorney General J.B. Van Holland, that you're doing something. This is exciting. This is great. So stick around here in the Rational Revolution. We'll be right back.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. President Trump again claims last week's attacks obliterated Iran's nuclear program, but the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency says it was damaged but not destroyed. Rafael Grossi tells CBS's Face the Nation Iran could resume production in months.
The knowledge is there. The industrial capacity is there.
Senate Democrats, even some Republicans, have concerns about the president's big, beautiful budget bill headed for a vote as soon as tomorrow. Virginia Democrat Mark Warner on Face the Nation.
I think many of my Republican friends know they're walking the plank on this, and we'll see if those who've expressed quiet consternation will actually have the courage of their conviction.
It's a blistering heat wave in southern Europe with temperatures higher than 100 degrees. Here's the BBC's Guy Hedgeco.
Sweltering temperatures across Spain and Portugal as a mass of hot air pushes up from North Africa.
And you can add Greece and Italy to the list of hot spots. CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.
Another home run for Ortiz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Earlier this season, the Milwaukee Brewers shortstop, Joey Ortiz, was really struggling at the plate. His batting average was down to 188, and he was in danger of losing his job. This week, Ortiz hit two home runs in the same game. Yesterday, he had another, a two-run homer in the Brewers' 5-0 win over the Rockies. I asked Ortiz, was his extended hitting slump tough to get through?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like my teammates have kept my head out a lot more than they know, especially early when I wasn't really getting the results I wanted. Everyone does a great part to make sure that your teammates are doing a good job, making sure they're in a good position mentally. And yeah.
And we learned that Brewers center fielder Garrett Mitchell, who re-injured his left shoulder in Nashville over a week ago, running the bases, will have to undergo surgery again this Tuesday, although it's possible he could return at the end of this season. From American Family Field, with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How do actors cope with being part of a really dark horror film? Violet McGraw and Allison Williams, stars of Megan 2.0, made themselves happy when the cameras weren't rolling by singing Taylor Swift songs. The 37-year-old Williams and 14-year-old McGraw are both Swifties. McGraw, who plays Williams' niece in the film, says the two bonded due to the dark material, and the way they ended up coping with it was by pretending to be Taylor. Megan 2.0 is rating fresh on Rotten Tomatoes and is currently in theaters. If mystery and horror isn't your thing, how about mystery and comedy? Peacock's remake of the 1989 Tom Hanks film The Burbs is gaining steam. The reboot is not a movie, but rather a series, and the cast is headlined by Kiki Palmer, whose credits include Nope and the recent surprise hit One of Them Days. Palmer is also executive producing. If you're feeling nostalgic for the movie, you might dig the show, as it is filmed on the same street on the Universal backlot as the movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies on tap for your Sunday, and we'll see some showers and storms in the mid to late afternoon hours. High temperatures today warming to the upper 80s, close to 90 degrees. A south to southeast breeze. More storms tonight. It's 87 at our studios.
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Take a look back at the weekend headlines with Pat Kreitlow, Trygve Olsen, and State Senator Kelder Royce on what's happening in the Joint Finance Committee. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm so glad you're here. If you like the discussion, join the discussion. Download the Civic Media app today. You can select your favorite station, text into the show. I'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. Come hang out. Come hang out with me and hang out with the 43rd Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, J.B. Van Hollen. He's been gracious with his time today. We got one more segment here. This is the last one with him. This is fascinating to me because when I was a member of the party and in, you know, relative party leadership, we talked about this. This was huge. This was a very, very large topic. And I think there's some legitimacy. There's a lot of illegitimacy. But I think so much of it comes down to misinformation. And, you know, what you're doing to combat that is really remarkable. But also, I think there... media plays a pretty big role in spreading some of that too. What do you think of you know, what role do they play in shaping the perceptions of this topic of election integrity?
Well, they just repeat what people say on both sides of the aisle,
yep,
which obviously spreads that misinformation. I mean, it's the only avenue for that to be done other than word of mouth, which is why we're trying to utilize your good services and other media right now to try to reverse that trend. You know, it's, the bottom line is you can go back to the time of trying to pass photo ID for voting in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Obviously, the pluses and minuses of it that were played up by both sides really got eaten up by both sides because they were heralded in the media. I really think that there would have been some Republicans who were opposed to photo ID and some Democrats in favor of it who weren't. Had they not been basically told by the media that their party line was the opposite.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And that's, you know, I touched on that in the previous segment, you know, the liberal bastions of we should be more like XYZ, Norway. Well, they've got photo ID to vote. So, you know, it's having this frank discussion of like not one side is completely wrong. The other side is not completely wrong. There are, you know, nuggets of validity in each one of those sides. I think what has become really dangerous is the normalization of these false claims. You know, I remember when I was chair and they were talking about Barack Obama, and there's Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh talking about, you know, tens of thousands of false votes and all this stuff. And that was like, oh, he's crazy. He's nuts. Just whatever. We know. Well, now that dude's president of the United States.
Yeah, well, there has been a change in times, too. I was a huge proponent of photo ID for voting when I was attorney general, and I was a huge proponent for a very good reasons. First of all, I thought the negatives were tiny compared to the potential positives. I also was able to see firsthand, quite frankly, the number of fraudulent votes there were. There was significant voter fraud before we had photo ID. I was able to see that because we were able to get lists of addresses that people supposedly voted from, and those addresses didn't exist.
Oh, wow.
And those lists were very large in number. Well, those sort of things can be mostly eliminated by photo ID because you have to have a legitimate government ID to show who you are. This is you, and you voted from that address. So that's why I thought photo ID was so tremendously important. I'm still a believer that there is voter fraud. I know there is voter fraud because I've seen examples of it out there, but they're very, very small compared to I think, what we had before voter ID. So I don't illegitimize the claims of voter fraud. I just say that right now it has been reduced. The areas that we're talking about aren't about voter fraud. They're about voter confidence. And one other thing that I've said a lot, but I haven't said today, that's important. I'm not saying that there aren't any votes that are cast that shouldn't be. What I'm saying is if your vote is cast, it will be counted.
Yeah.
All that I've seen of voter fraud or alleged voter fraud has to do with votes being cast that weren't entitled to be cast. It wasn't that you cast your vote and it got thrown away or lost. So when we have people on both sides of the aisle saying our system is flawed, you have people saying, well, the system's flawed. It doesn't work. Why should I bother going out to vote? Well, because your vote still does count. And the best way to fix a flawed system or to counteract what little voter fraud may still exist is to get your legitimate vote in there for your side or what you believe in.
Yeah. And I totally agree. And I do think that, and I've been on record myself saying that I do agree. And I believe that voter ID is a big deal. It is. And I think that has done a lot to legitimize our elections to the point where, I mean, there's studies and papers and all of that to say that, you know, yes, there is fraud today, but the fraud that's there is not enough to really sway an election because it is so minuscule. And it is, you know, it's because of some of the initiatives that have been put out there. And that's good. I mean, that's the whole point, right? We need to make it easy for people to vote, but we need to make it easy for people who can vote to vote, right?
Correct. Yep. We need to make it easy for legitimate voters to cast their ballot, for it to be counted, for it to be counted timely. And a big part of us now, DDP, is educating the voters that that is going to occur.
Yeah. And it's frustrating, you know, when we would see, you know, people in Wisconsin, oh, there's dead persons voting. It's like, okay, they voted absentee and they died before the election. Like, it's still, it's a, People can vote. This is the thing.
Our system is always going to be slightly flawed.
Right.
It's not going to be perfect. It can't be. Very few things in the world can be. However, we're trying to make it as accurate and reliable as we possibly can.
So you do still consider yourself a Republican, right?
Oh, lock, stock, and barrel.
Okay, right. So and what I refer to Republicans are like a Trump Republican or like a Rob Coles Republican. You know what I mean? And where is the party today?
Well, the party, both parties have gone a little extreme in their different ways. Not necessarily that the elected officials are extreme in their views, but that because of the partisanship, maybe in leadership or in the general public, they feel kind of obligated or pressured to go one way or the other. I've seen even in my days in office where I would have a Democrat elected official who would agree with me on something, and they'd primary him out of office or primary her out of office because they voted with a Republican. And it's gone both ways. And that's unfortunate because we don't need a bunch of clones on one side or the other. We need a variety of opinions.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I know when I was in the party, and I'm sure, you know, you were at a way higher level than I am. But, you know, and not just agreeing with you on a position, but how many times were you out to dinner and someone's like, man, I really do agree with you, but you know I can't. I can't. Right? How many times did that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a common occurrence. You know, it's part of our party system. It has been an existent part of our party system from shortly after the formation of our country.
Right.
So it's not a new thing, but it basically has ebbed and tide. You know, it's had ebbs and tides over the years. And it's been more significant at some times and, you know, less significant at others.
So we're talking with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. In 2008, you sued the Government Accountability Office to force the office to check the voter registrations for accuracy, and you said the motivation was illegal votes could sway the result of the election. Where are we since then?
You know, obviously they still can. You have places where there's elections that are decided by one vote, in which case one or two votes can swing the legitimacy of elections. So obviously it can still occur. On a large scale, I don't believe we're going to swing elections with a legitimate vote, with illegitimate votes. I think that voter ID has done a tremendous amount to correct that. You know, once again, there's jurisdictions where 18 people have voter photo IDs from a one-bedroom apartment. you know, there are ways that you can still, you know, get around the system. You can have students who are residents of Minnesota but go to school in Wisconsin who can get away with voting in both places. There are, you know, there are things that can and will occur, but they've been reduced considerably, and they don't reduce the validity of your vote. Once again, those are people casting ballots in a location where they're not entitled to. They're not the individual citizen of Wisconsin's vote not being counted when they cast it.
So I think you have such a unique perspective, and on this, and I have my opinions on where the party is, but as the state of the Republican Party, I would love to know, you know, where are they? I mean, you know, recent elections like the state Supreme Court race have raised some questions about where the direction of the party is. And then there's some divides that happened here in Northeast Wisconsin, and with some grassroots members expressing some dissatisfaction with Brian Schimming and his leadership. Where are they? Where is the GOP?
Yeah, I think the GOP is very solid footing being Donald Trump's party. Whether you like that or whether you don't, President Trump is the face of the Republican Party right now. He is going to be the dominant factor, is going to be kind of controlling it. And to the degree that in this day and age, I believe that you are not aligned with him, his factions, and his beliefs, you are going to be looked at as an outlier whether you are or not. Once again, when it comes to ebbs and flows, that's going to change. I think you could easily argue, too, right now nationally, maybe even in the state of Wisconsin, the Democrat Party is leaderless. You know, and which is which? If you don't like Donald Trump, but you're Republican, which is worse, to have a party being led by somebody you don't agree with, or by having a party that's completely leaderless and you maybe are going to have no say in mm-hmm. the process? So, but that comes and goes. That changes with both sides, and it's going to change. And those with a different held set of beliefs within their party system on both sides are going to see change coming in the future.
How do you wrestle with, passionate advocacy for, Democracy Defense Project, legitimacy of the votes and all of that, and then have the guy who's like the face of this election was stolen as the head of the party?
You know, I don't really wrestle with it for two reasons. First of all, I'm not trying to negate the success of President Trump. I think that the greater number of people who stayed home in the past and didn't vote because they thought their votes weren't being counted were the Republicans, because Donald Trump's the one who's been convincing them that their vote wasn't counting. So I truly believe that as part of this, I was helping him more than I was harming him, and Republicans should have some degree of gratefulness for that. On the flip side, those who don't, those who think that I'm an anti-Republican, I'm a traitor because I'm actually teaming up with Democrats to make some meaningful change, to them I say I really don't care, because I am not one of those people, and I wasn't when I was Attorney General either, who was going to do things to please a certain select group of partisans versus doing what I thought was right. And yeah. An example I'll give is, you know, I have a core set of Republican beliefs, and they're based on things that go way back in Republican platforms over the years.
We got about 10 seconds left.
Those are the things that dictate I'm a Republican, not the actual issues or positions I take on those issues.
Well, and I do have to say, you know, working with people on both sides of the aisle, I don't think I can think of anything more patriotic than to do something like that. So I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for hanging out with us, former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, on The Rational Revolution. We'll be right back with my thoughts.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, do we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose.
Welcome back.
Nothing. I mean nothing, honey.
Thanks for tuning in to the Rational Revolution. I am Mark Becker. That was former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. That was an interesting discussion. And if you want to join the discussion, download that Civic Media app. You can select that favorite station. Talk to us. Text us. Get involved in the show. You can also like our page on Facebook. All the socials. We'd love to hear from you. I really would. I'm still a radio rookie at this. So, you know, if you have some feedback, hey, baby, give it to me. I have to say, I mean, I do know JB a little bit from my time in the Republican Party, and I am genuine when I say I admire what he's doing, you know, stepping outside of the comfort zone of your political party and working with others. That is great. It is admirable. I think it's awesome. I wish I had more time with him because I think we were just getting into that discussion of, you know, how do you wrestle with that? How do you go from we need to protect the sanctity of the elections? We need to have media that tells the truth. But then also on the other hand, say, hey, my party is the Republican Party and it's ran by Donald Trump and I'm okay with that. Like how can both things be true. It's, jeez, that is a place I cannot get to. I can't. You know, you can't both say I support election integrity, and I support and I'm fighting for that on one hand. And then on the other hand, know that on January 6th, 2021, a violent mob stormed the U.S. Capitol attempting to overturn the results of a free and fair election. I don't know how one can get to that place. You know, the unprecedented attack on our democratic institutions was fueled by basic, baseless claims that the election was stolen, and it was propagated by Donald Trump, who's now the president again. And it was repeated by his allies in the Republican Party. Not just the little Republican, the whole freaking group. And if you had the nerve to tell the truth about it, a la Liz Cheney and our dear friend here, friend of the show, Adam Kinzinger, you're out. And the fact is, those falsehoods have not only undermined public confidence, but it's also led to tragic consequences, including the deaths of law enforcement officers and the injury of hundreds of people because of that guy. And I think to say that this is both sides, I mean, ish. Because, on one side you have Hillary Clinton saying that the election was stolen. That was dumb. She shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. Stacey Abrams, you know, refusing to concede to Brian Kemp. He did some stuff, but the election wasn't stolen. I think there needs to be reforms, including a lot of the reforms that J.B. Van Hollen's talking about. Is there? That's true. But to say that we can both sides this thing, no chance in hell. That's not even in the realm of possibility, because this very clearly is not a both sides thing. One side said, yeah, boy, that election with Donald Trump, I got more votes, but he still won. That's the rule. That's how elections work. But then the other side, we had dudes constructing, you know, gallows because they wanted to hang Mike Pence because the election was stolen. That's not the same thing. We can't look at this through that mirror and through that lens of, hey, we got problems on both sides of the aisle. I mean, if we want to have and really create change, we have to have a very, very frank, honest, pointed, flat-out discussion. They're the problem. That's true. That one side is saying, hey, voter ID sucks. The other side is killing people. Like, this is not the same thing. And, you know, I don't know. I really commend the Attorney General for doing that and joining the bipartisan discussion, because that's important. And like I talk about it all the time, this is not about left versus right. This is about right versus wrong. He's doing the right thing. But I don't know how you do the right thing and then also be like, ah, hey, you know, Donald Trump's the leader of the party. I think he said, what, lock, stock, and barrel. I'm Republican, lock, stock, and barrel. It's a place that I don't understand how we can get to, because we have to get to that place where we say we need to be better as a party. We need to be better. And I think he like skirted around there, which is like, I don't know, maybe some progress. But the fact is, the path forward does require collaboration. I think electing moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats who prioritize the sanctity of the elections over partisan interests is important. And if we work together, yeah, we can have some common sense reforms that protect the integrity of the electoral system and ensure that every vote counts. You know, like we talked about, voter ID, it's not awful, and it's really helped. We got to say that. Because it has. But on the other token, yeah, we should have more drop boxes. Yes, we should have more people allowed to vote. We should be able to make it easy for the right people to vote. And you know, my little not a conspiracy brain, but the sad thing is the fact that we don't have these laws allows Republicans to keep perpetuating this same stuff that they have been going on and on and on about for decades. And we got to do better. But join that conversation. Talk to us. Talk to them. Be friends. but keep pushing this narrative because this is important. This is so important. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thank you, JB Van Hollen, for your time. And tune in next week here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Mark Becker. See you later. Good enough for me and my Bobby.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. If you think there's nothing quite as dull as watching paint dry, then you've never heard the full reading of a piece of legislation.
Section 10502. Area-based crop insurance coverage.
Senate Democrats have forced a full reading of the 940-page Big Beautiful Budget bill that's been going on since late last night. It'll lead into the Senate debate and a possible vote tomorrow. CBS's Linda Kenyon tells us it's not just Democrats who have doubts about it.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul was one of only two Republicans who voted against advancing the bill. He cited deficit spending.
The deficit this year is going to be about $2.2 trillion. My prediction is with all this new spending and with some new tax cuts, that the deficit's going to be bigger next year.
Elon Musk blasted the bill. Posting on X, the former head of the Doge said, quote, "It will destroy millions of jobs in America and cause immense strategic